Now, don't forget to, whenever you say stuff, you're supposed to say it with a little bit of a smile.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that, what is that supposed to do?
Just kind of smile a little bit when you're talking.
Smile. Everybody when can hear it.
You're not. You're still supposed to move your jaw.
Sorry.
Hello, and welcome to Fantasy Outliers, the podcast, brought to you by FantasyOutliers.com. This is Dave.
And also Dave, and we are back in the basement.
We are back in the basement after I had to take a week off, after we, Dave and I took a little trip down to San Antonio for a wedding, in our continued summer of hanging out with each other most weekends.
Yeah.
We went to a nice wedding down in San Antonio, and I was just a real sleepy bear when we got back and just couldn't do a pod last week.
Well, I'm really glad to not be in my closet anymore. I don't want to have to do that.
Well, I mean, it sounded fine.
Yeah,
was it uncomfortable in there with all your shirts?
It's really hot in there, and I had to basically destroy my second bedroom and the closet in there to make it into a makeshift recording room.
Like you took everything out of the closet and then went in there?
I took all of the boxes and things that are in there and took them out and then put all the soft stuff like a giant comforter and hung it up behind me to absorb reflections.
Oh my gosh.
So, because it sounds terrible unless there's stuff in there. So yeah. You want all the soft things to, you know.
Yeah, ease the reflections.
Yeah. Whatever. It sounds
fun.
Well,
you and Clay sounded great last week, and I hope that people got some help out of help from you guys on the waiver wire and just kind of talking about assessing their teams.
Yeah.
So welcome to everybody. Welcome listeners, new listeners, old listeners. I know that we're picking up some people here and there occasionally.
We are.
This is our week 5 going into week 6 waiver discussion. And we are currently watching the Sunday night football game, which is Houston versus Kansas City. it's getting close to halftime. And, you know, what we're planning to talk through tonight is talk through a little bit of this game while we're watching it. Then we're going to talk through basically each of the games that happened so far this week to look for opportunities. People we think that the fantasy football press will be looking at for waiver wire pickups and kind of give some perspective on what the Fantasy Outliers proprietary math box system thinks of those people going forward. And once we go through some waiver wire pickups, or kind of while we're going through them, we're just going to talk about continuing to consider how to make our teams better on a weekly basis through potentially jettisoning some of our draft picks.
Yeah.
So, because it's that time of year, right, Dave?
It is. I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week, like now we're 5 weeks in. We have enough information now to, I think, be able to make some judgments on who really deserves to be started on your teams.
Yep.
Regardless of where they were drafted or any of that stuff. So it's time to make some hard decisions.
Yeah. So let's talk about a crazy decision that I made, for example.
All right. What's
before
that?
We get into this. So I, Thursday night, decided to sit Amari Cooper.
Okay.
I think a lot of people have been down on Cooper. Turned out this week, he got one target for 8 yards. We'll talk about him more an hour later. But that led me to the interesting, having to make the interesting decision of starting Brandon Cooks and Chris Hogan as my two wide receivers on the same team.
Yeah.
With Pierre Garçon as my flex.
How's that working out?
Turned out good.
Yeah.
Turned out good. I don't know if I'm going to do that every week from now on. So I think, you know, let's start talking about the New England kind of.
Well, hold on a second. Before you get to that.
Sure.
You're nervous about starting two guys on the same team, the Hogan and Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause that is the exact situation I have in one league where I accidentally drafted two guys on the Raiders.
Yeah. You have Cooper and Crabtree.
I have Cooper and Crabtree. And so maybe we can put a pin in that for later, but
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just a total mistake, like
that you drafting. Took those two guys.
Yeah, yeah, I just it's something I don't ever do on purpose, and I am wondering if this is an advisable thing to do in general, just in fantasy.
It's not.
Yeah,
I don't personally feel like it is,
because you can make the argument one way that it doesn't really matter where the points come from. They're both on the team. It doesn't matter if you have one of them or two of them or whatever.
Right.
But I think the downside is, kind of what has come to light recently is if you have a really bad game, both guys could suffer.
Right. Exactly.
And on the flip side,
if Derek Carr gets knocked out.
Yeah, exactly. Or you have a really great game and both guys could potentially blow up. So,
yep. It's just not great from a risk management perspective,
no.
I don't think. And I definitely felt queasy about doing it, even, you know, on a bye week, essentially, was what part of why I had to do it this week.
Yeah, but it looks like, I mean, Brady seems to be spreading it around pretty well.
I don't know if he's spreading it around, because I got to tell you, as a Brandon Cooks owner in a couple of leagues, I'm definitely starting to look pretty closely at, like, hey, is he really my flex now? Is he not really going to be my wide receiver one or wide receiver two? I'm definitely starting to get, you know, in addition to Amari, you know, thinking about Amari Cooper in that way, I'm also starting to look at Brandon Cooks and starting to get a little trigger finger-ish anyway, or a little uncomfortable with him being my wide receiver one. So anyway,
yeah, let's go into it.
While we're diving into waiver discussions, why don't we start with that New England game? So I personally don't think that there's much to talk about from that game, other than the fact that, you know, if you have Chris Hogan, maybe you're still thinking that he's not doing that much. I think that he has definitely proven, you know, he's starting to show up in expert rankings, you know, at the same level or higher than Brandon Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
He's outperformed every other wide receiver on the Patriots so far this year.
Yeah,
so
even more than Amendola, which I think a lot of people thought that Amendola would take over for Edelman.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like it's not, it kind of looks like it's Hogan.
It's definitely,
right?
Yeah, it's definitely Hogan. I mean, I think he's led them in scoring pretty much the whole season. He's the wide receiver scoring leader for them right now. I will say, so Chris Hogan, not available in many leagues at this point. He was a pickup earlier this year, but if he's on your bench and you're unsure about whether to start him or not, it's time to really start thinking about it. I think he's probably a top 15 wide receiver.
You think he's a top 15?
He's been performing like one.
Yeah.
So for the rest of the year, you know, until further notice, I would be thinking about him as a high-end wide receiver too.
Yeah, I'm in one league and I started him in my flex.
Yep. And that's a pretty good flex.
And it was a great flex, and I'm going to keep him in until this trend stops.
Yep. If it does.
If it does.
Right. So I guess the only question that goes hand in hand with that then is, you know, is Amendola, who you were talking about a minute ago.
Yeah, I mean, he did okay last week.
I think he still did this week, didn't he? If I remember right, I think his stat line was something like, I think he put up like 8 to 10 points, which as far as our benchmarking goes, means that he might be potentially startable as a flex.
Yeah.
So as we're going into bye weeks here, like you said, Brady is kind of stretching things out so much right now and just kind of throwing the ball around to everybody except for Brandon Cooks, basically.
Yeah.
That I think that you could probably look at Amendola as somebody who, if you have him on your bench again, he might be someone who can save you during a bye week. Also not a waiver wire pickup, unfortunately.
No,
at least he's owned in more than half of leagues from what I can tell.
It's a sit start decision, basically. And from what, okay, so Amendola did fine. He was 8 for 8. 77 yards in week 5.
Yeah, so that's six. That's so, 15.7 points in PPR.
And Brady has been keeping roughly 4 or 5 receivers, including Gronk, who didn't start this week.
Yeah.
Pretty busy. Healthy. You know, startable fantasy option.
Yeah.
So he's doing the Saints thing. He's doing the New Orleans move where they just throw it to a bunch of guys. But for whatever reason, you know, they're putting up enough that all these guys are useful.
Yep. So did you have anything else on this game? I didn't have any kind of insights on the Bucs side other than it seems like Doug Martin is fine to plug back in to your lineup, right? Great.
No.
Looked shocked that I would ask him. No, didn't have anything. So that's where we're at. Patriots wide receivers, pretty good. Get some. The next game that I had on my list to talk about a little bit was Indiana versus, Colts versus the 49ers.
Okay.
A few different things going on in this game. I think that, why don't we start with the tight end on San Francisco, George Kittle.
Yeah.
So the story of George Kittle is kind of interesting. So tight end this year, despite everything that we said earlier this season, has turned out to be a pretty tumultuous
kind of
position, right? It's been bad. Gronk has like missed a game late. Jordan Reed missed a game late. Like all of those, Greg Olsen is gone. Like all the stuff like that we talked about. So I think there are a lot of people out there
desperation
scrambling
at that position for sure.
Right, absolutely. And so George Kittle today goes 7 of 9 for 80 and a touchdown. The thing that's really interesting about him is that, you know, he's playing with Hoyer. I think Hoyer is the type of quarterback that people like to say checks down to this tight end.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's statistically true. That's sort of like common knowledge true, right? MathBox, I don't know if you remember this discussion from the preseason rankings.
When I saw his stat line today, it jumped out at me because I remember him specifically, because I didn't know who he was going into the year. Yeah. Why would you?
Exactly.
And he was very high on the list.
George Kittle was when we were reviewing our initial projections, a sort of canary in the coal mine person where we were like, when we saw his stat line, we were like, why is he ranked as like the number 6 tight end going into the season, according to MathBox? It was so much of an outlier for us that we actually went back and readjusted some of the projections for our tight ends, and specifically our young tight ends who we didn't have a lot of sample size for.
Right.
So it's not like this is one of those things where you can say, hey, we knew this. We saw this was coming.
We were questioning it and several of the other tight ends as well being quite that high. I didn't buy it then. And to be honest, I don't know what you're going to say, but I don't totally buy it right now either.
So I think that given the way the position has ended up, if you are someone who needs a tight end, he's probably someone who I would take a shot on just because
out of desperation,
we had a game where, you know, he got 9 targets, managed to connect with most of them. You know, that's a huge game for a tight end. You know, seven receptions, 80-ish yards, and a touchdown is, you know, 20 something points or whatever in PPR. But, you know, if you could get 10 out of someone like that and you're streaming tight ends, you'd probably be pretty happy with it.
I would be. That'd be fine. I mean, you're still losing ground statistically, but if you can scrape by with something, you need something passable right now. I mean, I have Greg Olsen in one league and I am desperation starting Hunter Henry because I cannot hold 3 tight ends.
Well, it's turned out that he has been...
He's been really
too,
up and down, but yeah, he's been nothing or something for the whole year.
Yeah. So that's kind of the thoughts on one of the kind of eye-popping performances in this game. Another one for me was San Francisco wide receiver Marquise Goodwin. He had 5 receptions and 11 attempts for around 100 yards, 11 targets.
Wow. That's
in
good.
This game. It's a lot of targets. This is one of those players where I think that this is one of those that I will say, like, slow your roll on a little bit because it hasn't been a trend fully in the targets. This one game is a big outlier as far as the number of targets that he got from Hoyer. The other thing is that even moving him up in our projections with a lot of targets really doesn't move the needle on
him
being
at
any more than a...
Okay.
Than a very, like... We're talking, like... wide receiver 45.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who moves up from, if we adjust his targets to 11 a game, moves from wide receiver 70 to wide receiver 45. And unfortunately, you don't want to be there unless you're really in a lot of trouble on a bye week.
Yeah.
Like I was this week.
So just forget about him.
I think it's a
1 week thing.
I think it probably is.
Yeah.
It might be like, hey, keep an eye out, but I think it's a 1 week thing.
Okay.
Then the last thing I have for this game is Marlon Mack, the rookie running back from Indiana. He had he was 10 for 91. I think that this is probably someone who is worth taking a desperation shot on if you are really thin at running back and looking to prepare for future bye weeks. There's always been this kind of death watch, let's say, over the last 4 or 5 years for Frank Gore, which is kind of unfair because he's not like 35. I mean, he is older, but people have been waiting for a long time for Frank Gore to be done. And I think that when it happens, it's going to happen fast.
Well, he's so slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he continues to get it done one way or the other. I mean, he is a professional running back. He definitely knows what he's doing.
So if there's a shot that he gets injured, or if they game plan away from him for some reason because they decide, hey, we really need to see what's going on with the rookie or whatever.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be like maybe it makes that situation a little bit more messy because now they're going to give him more, we're going to give Mac more touches.
Right.
So, I mean, we're obviously going to find out, but they're not good this year, so they might just
They might somebody just else. Kick it off. Especially, yeah. I mean, we're at week five. If Andrew Luck doesn't come back, like, I have not heard any new news about Andrew Luck in a long time. I know that people have said when he's going to play, he's just all of a sudden going to play. Mm-hmm. But who knows when that's going to be?
Yeah.
Maybe they are just going to look into it, and maybe they'll just grind out some yards with Mac. So I think he's worth thinking about if you are. Yeah, he's definitely on my radar. He's not like a must grab, but hey, we all have waiver wire picks every week. One of the big things about fantasy football, I think, about fantasy sports in general, is you got to use your waiver picks. There shouldn't really ever be a week where you sit there and go, I'm good. There's almost always somebody on your team who you could cut in favor of somebody else just to take a shot on, just to hold on to and see
especially
what happens.
Especially in
bye weeks. Yeah. So that's what I had for the Colts 49ers game. Moving on to Green Bay versus Dallas. This was a sort of interesting game too. I mean, I think that a lot of the stars kind of did what people expected them to do, except I was keeping a really close eye on Aaron Jones.
Yeah, me too.
So what did you think?
Well, we talked about this a little bit last week. We were talking about the Ty Montgomery injury, and at the time we were recording on Monday night, the news wasn't totally confirmed. It looked like he might even play this week.
Yeah.
So we kind of played. I kind of said, look, I don't know much about Aaron Jones.
Right.
He's the third string guy, I believe. Both guys got hurt. And I was basically saying, I'm not super worried about it because he didn't do a ton when he was in there. I mean, he got 49 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
He was fine. But it turned out Ty Montgomery did not play. And I mean, he had a really good week this week.
Yeah, he did.
And I think just what we were saying earlier about the other game, I think this might actually just muddy the waters when Ty Montgomery comes back. Like,
do you think when he comes back, even? I mean, in my mind, they've been working a long time to get Montgomery ready to play in the running back slot instead of the wide receiver. So I'm not sure that it's going to muddy the waters when he's going to come back. I will say, Ty Montgomery has broken ribs.
Mm-hmm.
That's really painful.
It's really hard to recover. It takes a long time to recover.
It can, and guys play through it, mm-hmm. right? But I don't know if it's going to happen. I will say that the Math Box's projections, if you go in and give Aaron Jones starting running back kind of attempts.
20 attempts
or
something.
Yeah, you put him in 18 to 20 attempts. He comes back being a top 20 running back based on mm-hmm. our points per opportunity metrics that we had on him already. So even though he's young, the algorithm kind of liked him.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, because if Ty Montgomery comes back and say he's, you know, not ready for a full workload, it's painful, you know, maybe they try to swap series between the two.
Yeah.
Like, I think it could just muddy the waters. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't start either of them.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it might take a minute to figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah, I will tell
you. Because I don't think they're going to just give the reins to Jones.
No. I don't think so either.
And I think they're going to give it completely back to Montgomery either.
See, that's where I kind of disagree is I think that, I mean, here's the scenarios that I think about in this kind of situation is like Aaron Jones is a injury replacement that whoever has him should probably consider riding until Montgomery looks like he's coming back.
Yes, absolutely.
When Montgomery comes back, if he's not back full time, I'm not starting either one of these guys.
You don't think so?
Well, I mean, if I'm the Montgomery owner, I may not have better options when it really boils down to it. If I'm the Aaron Jones person at that point in time, I'm like moving on to whoever the next hot waiver person is to jam into my flex spot, basically. You know?
You think you would drop him?
I would try hard not to drop him just in case something else happened to Montgomery. And since he showed some flash already, you know what I mean? But I think you basically get to enjoy this until Montgomery is ready to come back. And so who knows? It could be this week. It could be another week. Ribs, like we said, they're painful. So it's like, but I don't think if it's a cloudy situation, I definitely don't
want to
avoid Aaron
it.
Jones anymore.
Yeah.
But for now, good on you if he's on your roster. Also, maybe not a waiver wire person at this point, by the way, because he's 60% owned.
Yeah, he got picked up. I mean, he should be 100% owned until Ty Montgomery comes back.
Exactly.
For sure.
So, another person I would throw out in this discussion right now is, we had a lot of talk a couple weeks ago about Geronimo Allison.
Yeah.
And now that Cobb and Adams are back.
Guess what?
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much just like we said a couple of weeks ago.
That's predictable.
And it's like, yeah, unfortunately, I think that it was bound to happen even after he had that great, you know, great, one really, really great game. And I think a couple of passable games.
But what I think that shows you is that if somebody goes down in the Green Bay offense, it kind of almost doesn't matter, because as long as they can catch the ball, Aaron Rodgers is going to make them useful.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good point. Like, if something else happens with Devonta Adams or Cobb somehow, then maybe, or Jordy, I guess, God forbid for all my Packer fans friends.
But it gives you some clarity as to who might step up.
Yep.
If something does happen.
That's true.
These guys. So, you know, you're probably dropping him.
This is your seventh person on your bench, though, right?
It's like the
person
you drop. This is the very last guy.
This is the person you drop when you don't want to drop your defense that's on a bye on a given week.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to drop Denver, so Geronimo Allison is gone.
Exactly. Last player I had in this game was Cole Beasley, who we've actually talked about a bunch of times. Or not a bunch of times on the podcast, but we talked about him a lot last year in our beta predictions, because we had kind of pegged him as somebody who was a good value. He had 4 for 23 and 2 touchdowns today.
Yeah.
So 18 points in PPR. He's gone by next week. Dallas is on a bye next week. So that's going to complicate things for a number of people, I'm sure, anyway. I don't think that he's ever going to get enough points to make this, or not points, enough targets to make this worth it.
Okay. Two words.
Okay.
Kevin Ogletree.
Okay.
Do you remember who that was?
Well, yeah. Like, was that the guy on Dallas a few years back who was...
He caught like 2 or 3 touchdowns in week one.
Yeah.
And everyone got all excited and then just disappeared.
Yeah.
And that's what I think
that's
this
is. That's what you wrote down for Cole Beasley.
Well, I mean, that's what's coming to mind, because if you look at what Cole Beasley did the other weeks of the year, this year, it's almost nothing.
Yep.
I mean, he's barely been involved, a lot less involved than actually we thought he would be.
Yeah, exactly.
And so this, and we're not really talking about much here other than 2 touchdowns.
Right.
Because 4 for 23 is whatever.
He
That's basically
more,
what he did all the other weeks. He just happened to catch 2 touchdowns.
He even had more yards and more receptions in other weeks this season.
Yeah.
It was just, it's all been kind of like... not really there.
Yeah, he's been averaging like 4 for 35.
So I would pass.
Yeah. Totally pass.
And I think that unfortunately that basically means that there's not a lot of actionable stuff out of this Green Bay game other than keep riding Aaron Jones as long as you get a chance to.
Yep.
So let's talk about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little bit of story time for me. So number one, my notes that I've written down on this, the first thing I wrote is, I cannot believe I sat the Jacksonville defense.
Well, I mean, okay, I think you can be forgiven for that to some degree.
Yeah.
Because it's Pittsburgh and you expect them to be good.
Yeah.
And they are underperforming.
They have the best skill players, right?
Yeah, they have. Yes, they have the best skill players.
Yep.
And you assume Roethlisberger is going to be at least pretty good.
Yeah.
Has not been the case.
Let's talk about Roethlisberger too. So I also have Roethlisberger in 2 different leagues, and I sat him in both leagues this week out of just kind of general disgust with his lackluster performances.
Yeah.
I started Watson over him in one league and Wentz over him in another league.
All right.
And, you know, we'll see how Deshaun Watson works out. I've been kind of watching it with one eyeball over here.
But I think that makes sense. I mean, I don't think those are bad ideas.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because we had Roethlisberger projected to be the second best quarterback this year. And, you know, but I do think this is one of those moments where it's like, 4 weeks in, I think he's actually been a net negative for my team, and I'm just moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. The most interceptions for a Pittsburgh quarterback since 1995.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, some of them were fluky, but I think 2 were pop-ups or whatever, things that just happened to land in somebody's hand. But still, it's terrible.
So, Dave, I was going to move on to the Browns-Jets here. I don't really have a ton of notes on it other than a little bit about the Browns quarterback position.
Okay.
Yeah. So Kaiser got pulled from this game too on the Browns side from what I saw. Kind of inexplicably, there hasn't been any news about it yet. He wasn't doing great. I only mention it because he was also kind of a trendy bye week fill in. And unfortunately, definitely kind of torpedoed some
people. I did not buy that.
Yeah.
I heard that too.
You're just not doing like bronze quarterback?
I just don't see, I mean, no, I just don't see it. Same thing with like the Jets. I mean, I was, you know, happy about Bilal Powell blowing up last week, but.
The week that I sat him.
Yeah.
I put him in this week, but sat him last week.
You know, these players on bad teams, you know, we've looked into this before. And whenever someone makes the argument that, hey, you know, somebody's got to catch the ball or someone's got to get the touches or whatever. You know, we've looked into this statistically and actually it's not really true.
Yeah.
You know, Chris has done many studies where looking at where the fantasy value comes from by team.
Yeah.
And it tends to be concentrated in, you know, 10 or so teams.
Right.
And, you know, it's a pretty consistent slope all the way down to, you know, zero or whatever. And
right.
There's a number of teams that get people started that are terrible and
right.
give you negative value. So
yep.
whenever someone says they got to throw the ball to somebody, it's not true.
Yep. No, it's not true.
Yeah. Don't believe it. Bad teams are just bad teams sometimes.
Okay. So the next game we wanted to talk about was one of the games that I actually got to watch closely today, which was Panthers-Lions. Jungle Cats versus each other. I guess lions don't live in the jungle, but anyway.
They do in your world. That's fine.
Yeah, my world where cats fight each other for dominance.
Yeah. Thundercats.
It's like my house where I have two cats who fight each other for dominance.
Do they really?
No, they're actually...
They seem very
they're
lethargic.
Snuggle bugs. They're snuggle bugs.
Okay.
They like to just get in with each other. All right. So there were a couple of interesting things in this game. Who did you have anybody on your radar from this game?
Yeah, I did have one. And it's kind of unexpected, actually. Well, in a way, it's unexpected. In a way, it's very expected. Ed Dixon, the tight end for the Panthers,
okay.
who's the backup for Greg Olsen.
Right.
Who's on IR.
Yeah.
Had a pretty good game.
Yeah, I'll say he had like the fifth or sixth highest number of yards ever for a tight end today. Something crazy
was
like that.
Was it really?
Yeah, and it was with a minimum of 5 receptions.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, you know, TV coverage, they're spouting all these like weird stats to make it sound like he's the best player ever.
Well.
Did they get you?
No.
Do you believe he's the best player ever?
I do not believe he's the best player ever. But
okay.
Because Ed Dixon has been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
He has always been one of those guys to me that is been a dude you should never have on your fantasy team because he's more of like a blocking tight end. He'd never really caught that many passes. I mean, I think his biggest career day ever was like in the 80s or, you know, 89 yards or something like that.
Right.
So this game, 5 for 175 or whatever, is a complete outlier.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It's absolutely absurd for a tight end, but especially for Ed Dixon.
Right.
And so I kind of believe it in the fact that maybe they need somebody to catch passes from the tight end position, and he's the guy there.
Right.
And he's an experienced player, and he can catch the ball if they throw it to him. It's not like he's incapable of doing that, but it's just not what Ed Dixon is traditionally.
Yep.
And we have lots and lots of games that go to prove that.
Yeah. So so I looked at Ed Dixon today too. Let me give you a little bit of like the math box perspective on this, because I ran some numbers while you're on your way over here.
All right.
His points per opportunity was actually higher than Olsen's as projected by math box.
But his opportunities were
tiny.
Tiny.
Like three.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It has to be under 5.
Yeah. So Olsen was projected to have 8 opportunities a game. Today, Dixon was 5 for 5. So he had 5 opportunities in this game. The algorithm still does not like Dixon as an option, even with adjusting his opportunities per game up to 5.5 or 6 or something in that kind of range. He's still, I think, outside of our top 12 and maybe outside of the top 15.
Okay.
Projected for the year, full year stats based on that kind of stuff. Now, we were talking earlier and we were talking about, George Kittle as well. I think that with tight ends, sometimes people who are out here listening to us right now, sometimes you're just looking for a name. When you bring up that list of tight ends that are available in your league right now, and you're like, I don't know who any of these guys are. Do I really want Zach Miller going with Trubisky for the first time?
First
do I really want to do all
ever.
This stuff? You know, like all this kind of stuff. Like sometimes you're looking for a name. I think if you're trying to shoot the moon, maybe
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that he won't be useful.
Yeah.
It's just he's obviously going to come back to earth yardage-wise.
Yeah.
Do they keep throwing him five balls a game? Yeah, that's totally possible.
Yeah.
What he does with that or how the game, you know, it could also be just Detroit just didn't cover him or something. You know what I mean? It could be a situational game thing where he just had tons of opportunity or was open the whole time.
Yep. Now, I do think that what's really happened is that the person who's benefited much more so from Greg Olsen being out, other than the tight end, you know, swapping in Ed Dixon just one for one for the tight end, is Devin Funchess.
Yeah.
So Funchess has continued to perform, you know, today. He's still only at about 50% owned right now. If you look at the actual number, my sister actually was literally just texting me right now saying, Devin Funchess saved me in my league. I just picked him up this morning. I don't know if like Funchess is the savior. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see that Cam Newton is actually throwing the ball pretty well right now. He did have 7 for 15 and a touchdown today. He's tracking around 1.9 points per opportunity in the real world right now, which is quite a bit higher than what we projected him to be at. I think a lot of that is because he's the beneficiary of extra quality targets that Olsen would have gotten in the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I buy all that.
So if we go with his season points per opportunity so far and leave his because he's actually tracking with the same number of opportunities, I just think he's getting better, like longer ones. He's getting red zone ones sometimes and things like that. He moves to wide receiver 35 to 40 for us if we kind of trust that they're going to keep using him the way that they have been this year. That should be right inside. For me, that should be right inside flex territory, especially on a bye week. That's kind of my take on him, is that he could be the guy, especially since he's right on 50% right now, that if you are desperate one week where you all of a sudden lose two of your wide receivers in a given week because of a bye week, he could be the guy who really fills in for you well. So Funchess, not Dixon for me, unless you're really desperate.
No,
Dave's buying Dixon a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I buy that. I mean, the logic makes sense. I don't buy Dixon really as a... He's going to be... It's just so far outside of what he usually is.
Yeah. And let's just... I mean, by the way, like the situation that I'm in, actually, that you're talking about with tight end, like to just transition to another game really quickly, the Buffalo, you know, the Bills versus Bengals game, there's basically one note that I had about this game, which was that Charles Clay got hurt.
Yeah.
So Charles Clay, I've been starting a tight end on a couple leagues because I very much am like the person who likes to invest late in tight ends. Although this year, I've been starting Charles Clay over Jordan Reed.
Because you had to.
Because I had to, and because I'm just kind of out, like, keeping an eye on Jordan Reed to come back, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, Buffalo lost Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
It's not that, like, Clay was ever, you know, he was always capable of catching a good amount of passes.
Yeah.
He was fine. He played in Miami.
I was going to say, he did some good stuff in Miami back in the day with our friend Chad Pennington, I think. But, this is the story, right? So we have a couple of tight end names for you to think about, and we lost one of our popular streaming options the last couple of weeks, Charles Clay, to injury probably this week. So, you know, I'm going to be looking at Kittle or Dixon in at least two different leagues, you know, this Tuesday night when I'm putting in my waiver claims, probably going to be trying to get Kittle, I guess.
Yeah.
Dixon is my backup, dropping the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all I had on Buffalo Cincinnati.
Okay.
Seemed like,
and
pretty
AJ
down
Green is a stud. That's all you need
to
know.
He also had three drops.
Who cares?
So, but yeah,
he was still awesome.
He did save the team, from what I understand. I want to talk really quickly about Arizona, Philadelphia. David Johnson has made rushing in Arizona into a mess. Management
and one of my teams. Yeah.
Management and roster construction has made rushing in Philadelphia into a mess. So I got nothing for you there. There is no clear picture of what person you should be starting if you used to have David Johnson, if you were trying to pull somebody from Arizona to play in those spots.
No.
Doesn't seem like anybody's getting it done in any way that's going to be worthwhile for you.
Right. Completely agreed.
Philly, their leading rusher today was our good friend LeGarrette Blount with 70-something yards somehow. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. Whatever.
I wouldn't
whatever,
want any
man.
Of that stuff. So stay away from rushing in Arizona and Philly if you can. On the other hand, Carson Wentz was throwing the ball around a lot today.
Yeah, he had a career high.
He had a career high in one of our leagues, one of the leagues that Dave and I play together, where I started him over Roethlisberger because you know, I got lucky. Basically, he put up 42 points.
Your fantasy intuition kicked in, and you realized that you needed to dump Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
for
finally,
this week.
With my my record has not been great this year combined so far. But I was like, all right, I'm moving on from Roethlisberger.
But that is what we were talking about last week. Is time to make decisions,
hard decisions
on guys that you think that should be good and just aren't.
Right. Exactly. So. Two people I wanted to talk about that were kind of beneficiaries of Carson Wentz throwing the ball around a lot. You know, obviously, the third person that in that basket would kind of be Zach Ertz. He's been continuing to perform.
Yeah, he's
been
great.
Feel good about the fact that he's finally broken through if you drafted him. But Nelson Agholor had a pretty good game today, and Torrey Smith also had a pretty good game today. Agholor was someone that we talked about a couple weeks ago in our week one kind of waiver wire pickups. I think he could still be worth it. So he's got three touchdowns so far this year in five games. He's only getting about four targets per game. He's getting some long targets. Like, he had four receptions today for 93, and his long today was 72 yards.
Wow.
So he had one big pass and a bunch of short ones. But that's still good. He's still getting a good amount of work, and he's clearly someone who they're throwing the ball to when, you know, in the red zone. I think he could be someone that's worth taking a look at, that the needle hasn't really moved on much.
Do you
so
think
far
it's
this
just
year.
Early enough that you think he's going to be more useful down the road?
I think he's just another one of those people that is a bye week fill in.
Okay.
I don't think he's ascended. Like Chris Hogan, I buy, you know, like we were talking about earlier, this is like a totally different discussion. Like, I don't think that.
You think he's more of a dart throw, maybe?
I think he's like wide receiver 42.
Okay.
You know, like where he's maybe going to make it into your flex on a week where you don't have a lot of good options or you've gotten a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
If you get lucky, he's going to make it up to wide receiver 30, basically, is kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm a little cautious on that. I mean, four targets, one big play.
Four receptions.
I didn't
have the targets.
Sorry.
I think it might have been six or seven targets. He's averaging four targets a game so far, but I think he's had a couple of games with a lot of targets and a couple of games with not many targets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an uneven distribution. On the flip side, Torrey Smith, they're also using a similar way. I mean, Torrey Smith is a guy who's always been kind of like live by the big play, die by the big play. I don't think I would try for him as much as I think I kind of like Agholor. I don't really like Torrey Smith at this point.
Devil, you know.
Yeah, I guess I probably know too much about him and
well, he's just been disappointing so many times. You think he's going to do something. I mean, he's been never been like a top shelf guy, but been someone that was targeted by people in the past.
Yeah.
And
as a breakout player,
been very quiet.
I guess I just kind of feel like Agholor's on the way up and Smith is on the way down.
Yep.
So that's it for that game. Let's talk about the Chargers versus the Giants. What a bloodbath.
Yeah, what is going on here?
The Giants lost four wide receivers during this game, from what I understand. I did not get a chance to watch this game, but did you have some thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the big news, very sad news in real football and in fantasy is Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
The news right now looks like a broken ankle.
Yeah.
If you saw the play, it was awful.
I did not see it. Was it awful?
You do not want to watch it.
Yeah.
It was really ugly. When I saw it, I was like, that is either broken or that is the worst ankle sprain of his life. and it looks like it's broken. And
Will Fuller with another touchdown. Tried to pick him up this week, but he was already gone. Anyway.
Just like what you're saying, Brandon Marshall, ankle sprain. It looks not great for him. He went out. Sterling Shepard went out. He looks like he's week to week.
Sterling Shepard would have been the guy that I've been reaching for immediately when Beckham went out, just because he's filled in that role a couple of times before in the past. But now it's kind of like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe the only other true receiver is Roger Lewis.
Who he's a fill-in guy from what I saw.
Yeah. So I don't know what you really do. I don't know. I'm not going to target him because I just don't know. I'm not familiar with him.
Right.
You know, but I think if you have Sterling Shepard, you are really hoping that he is well.
Yeah.
You know, he can play next week.
Yeah. I almost might put in a claim on him just because he's the one who's the least hurt. And also he had a couple of really great games last year when he was filling in as the kind of number two there.
Okay.
And So I think he can do it.
Yeah, all right. Well, then that's fair.
Yeah. So I would go back and take another look at Sterling Shepard. The other interesting thing, a couple of like weird notes about this game. Apparently, they had a huge amount of penalties between the two different games, between the two different teams, like huge amount. Like, it was a crazy disorganized game, I guess. And at one point, one of the officials even called the Chargers the San Diego Chargers. Which is just like,
well, who hasn't done that this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I read this in the ESPN summary, so I was just kind of laughing.
That's because just
I was
embarrassing.
Like, it just sounded like it was kind of a,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of a.
This is a clean podcast. You can't say
you
that.
You know what I was going to say?
Yeah,
but
the Giants. I mean, they're 0-5.
Yeah,
I mean, their season's effectively over.
Yeah,
Eli looks like he's a mess.
Yeah,
I mean, why would you, even if Odell Beckham could come back at the end of the year, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Mostly
because I think he's a really driven guy. I really like to watch Odell Beckham. I know some people think he like is one of those like trash talker guys because of his epic feud with Josh Norman. But
yeah, I who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, you should be fired up. Like,
yeah.
You're the arguably the best receiver in the game.
Yeah.
You should be cocky.
Yeah.
You should be, you know, saying whatever you want to say because you could probably back it up. I think he has a cool haircut. That's mostly why I like him.
Yeah, that too. He seems like a guy I would like to hang out with.
If I could grow hair like that, I totally would do it.
Yeah.
Blonde mohawk.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So I do have a name for you from this game, though.
I also have a
name. For the waiver wire. Let's see if it's the same person. I'll go first.
All right.
I have Orleans Darkwa from the Giants as a name to think about.
Okay. That is not what I was going to say.
So he went 8-69 with a touchdown today.
He was my second choice.
He was?
Yeah. So Mike... You go first.
Well, all I was going to say was, I have never had any luck trusting the New York Giants running backs ever since Tiki Barber. Mm-hmm. We're talking like, I mean, and what is that, like 10 years?
Yeah.
Like, it's been a really long time since they've had anybody that they stuck with.
How have you ever felt comfortable starting one of those guys?
Never. No,
for
and
years.
I'm always scared. Yeah. And in the preseason, it's always like, this guy's going to be good and this guy's going to be good. I just don't know how it's going to work. But on the other hand, if they don't have anybody to throw the ball to, maybe they'll try running it a little bit more. And if Darkwa's attempts get up to about 15, he moves into somebody who's potentially in our like flex zone. So
yeah,
bye weeks are coming. You keep an eye out for it. He's owned in like 3% of leagues or something tiny. So I think that that's a name that you could put on your list as somebody to grab this week.
Okay. I don't disagree with that.
Right.
I was trying to figure out who was even left on this team that was a possible, you know, pass catcher.
Yeah.
My call is the tight end, Evan Engram.
Okay.
Because he was, okay, so he's been averaging about four to six catches, roughly 50 yards. He's been doing like very average tight end stuff, but it's been very consistent. They've been using him every week in basically the same manner.
Right.
And I feel like he's a guy that they're starting to trust. And maybe this is the guy they start giving the ball to. All of this stuff, I would say, is basically, it's us trying to read the tea leaves and figure out what's going to happen on a very dysfunctional offense.
So I was just dialing up Evan Engram in MathBox because I have not really looked at him before. So I was just going to take a look. So he is just slightly below the points per opportunity in the position as far as who we have, you know, in tight end. But if we were to, he's also only earmarked for 3 opportunities a game, which actually seems like, hey, if he's going to go.
But he's been getting more than that already.
Yeah,
double.
How many has he been getting?
Well, I mean, he's catching about 4 to 6 passes a game.
Catching 4 to 6 a game?
Yeah.
So let's say that we put him at 7 opportunities a game for a second just to see what happens. He moves up to tight end 12, basically. Actually, tight end number 10. And that's a list that still has Greg Olsen, Charles Clay, and Jordan Reed on it. So I think this could be a good
call. I think it's a sneaky
call,
I think it's a sneaky pickup.
And I think it's that, given what you've just told me and also what MathBox says, I like him better than Ed Dixon. So my list of like tight end pickups would probably be, he'd be my second one behind George Kittle from the 49ers. But I think that sounds like a great pickup.
We're going to figure out tight end.
Yes. This is our tight end centric podcast, The Tight End. All right, we got two games left to talk about. First one I want to talk about really quickly is Seahawks Rams, which is just because, you know, there's been a lot of movement both on seeing kind of the Rams come together a little bit on the offensive side, and also keeping an eye on seeing where the Seahawks are going to go as far as production goes, and particularly running back with the injury last week. Turns out it looks to me like the Seahawks running game is in total disarray again. So I'm really glad that I had to take a shot on Eddie Lacy in one of my leagues this week. I will never do that again, for probably 2 weeks from now, I'll do it again.
I don't think you can do anything with him.
Yeah.
I think he's fully droppable.
Yeah. Well, I did just add him this week. So
why?
Because I had both my running backs on bye in one league. I had,
he was the only guy that had a chance.
He was it. Yeah. I'm also starting Latavius Murray in two leagues this week, but that'll be, we'll just see what happens with that tomorrow night. But, yeah. So I think the Seahawks run game is a void until somebody really emerges, and then you'll probably miss it anyway. So it's kind of like, just don't waste your energy.
Yeah. I think that's one where you just avoid it, because we don't really know what's going on. I don't think they know what's going on. I think they're still trying to figure it out, you know?
Exactly.
It's kind of the same thing with like the Giants situation too. You could just say, hey, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even going to touch this because I can't figure it out.
Yep. Yep. And then the only other person I want to talk about quickly here is on the Rams, wide receiver Tyler Higbee. The last couple of weeks has been getting a good amount of targets. He got 6 last week. He got 8 this week. He managed to connect for 4 receptions for 98 yards today. I think that's another person that could be a desperation kind of flex bye week play if you needed it. Goff is definitely out there. Mm-hmm. He's getting better. He's throwing. So I think that that's somebody who you could add to your roster if you needed a fill in at this point in the season, which
That's decent. It's nothing amazing, but that offense is pointing up. So who knows?
Maybe he'll get to ride with him.
Yep.
Yep. I am going to say something really quick about the game that we're just watching right now, which is basically if your league doesn't have, if Will Fuller has not been picked up in your league yet from Houston, I think he's definitely worth an add. He's added in most leagues, but Watson has been throwing to him a lot. And so he just connected for another touchdown tonight. I definitely think he's somebody you should be looking to add to your team if you could.
Yeah, he had a big game when he came back from injury. I think he caught 2 TDs.
Yep.
And he's been 1 for 9 and a touchdown this week. So.
Yep. So just keep that in. Oh, 1 for 9 and a touchdown. Yeah. Not that great of a game, but still probably worth keeping an eye on.
Hey, he caught a touchdown. That's something.
Yep. And then the last game we're going to talk about, because it kind of transitions, it's full circle. It's a game that we talked about a little bit at the beginning of this podcast. We're going to talk about it at the end as we move on to our kind of general topic for the week, is the Baltimore-Oakland game. Now, Baltimore, I don't think there's much to talk about other than, I think, another name that you could keep on your mind for a flyer is Mike Wallace. If you need about 10 points or 8 points out of a wide receiver, Mathbox does not love him, even at the rates that he's been putting up so far. They still project him to be very low, but that's another name to think about. But I think that the main thing that we wanted to talk about here was reassessing your team and at this kind of quarter point of the season, or actually it's getting closer to halfway through the season right now. With regards to what you spent on draft picks.
Yeah.
My note here says Amari Cooper is dead, I guess.
Yeah, he must be. I mean, he's not doing anything. He had one good game, which was week 1, and then he has basically done nothing since.
Yeah.
Basically nothing. I mean,
I would just really quick throw in here. I saw a tweet today that said that his good game was the opening drive of that first game. So after the opening drive of week 1, he's had nothing.
Okay, so I will read you his stat lines game by game. Week 1, 5 for 62 and a touch. 2, 4 for 33. Week 3, 1 for 6.
Mm-hmm.
Week 4, 2 for 9.
Yep.
Today, 1 for 8.
Yeah, 1 for 8 today.
1 for 8.
Yep.
He is absolutely unstartable.
Yeah.
Like, I have him in 2 leagues.
Yep.
I I did not realize that he was quite this bad.
Well, we spent second round picks probably on him, right? And I know I did in one league. It was at least second or maybe third round pick. Mm-hmm.
It might have been third, but yeah, it was way too high.
Yeah. And
I mean, you just can't start him.
Yeah.
And I was worried about this because Derek Carr's out and broke his back and all that. And I'm like, maybe that's going to affect it. Well, he was bad before Derek Carr got hurt.
Yeah.
And
everybody thought that Crabtree was going to be bad after Carr got hurt. And what was Crabtree's game this week?
Crabtree has been the saving grace for this team. I actually, like I mentioned earlier, I have a team with Amari Cooper and Crabtree that I did by accident. But Crabtree's stat lines are kind of awesome. He's basically six catches for 80 something yards every week.
Yeah.
It's three of the 4 weeks that I have here. And he had that big blow up in week two where he caught three touchdowns.
Right.
But he's been remarkably consistent.
Right.
So you're absolutely starting Crabtree.
Right.
Until, I mean, EJ Manuel throwing to him didn't seem to make any difference.
Yeah. You said six for 80 on a weekly kind of average?
Yeah. He's six for 83 in week one, six for 80 with three touchdowns in week two.
Yep.
He had a bad game week three, one for seven. And I don't have a week four stats here, but six for 82 and a touchdown today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
So, by the way, I think 6 for 80 on a ongoing basis is like wide receiver 20 or 25. Like, if that, and plus occasional spikes from touchdowns, mm-hmm. is definitely like a solid wide receiver too.
Yeah, the point is you're starting him.
Yeah, and Crabtree, I think, was projected to maybe be towards the end, the bottom of that bucket, probably. I think he's towards the top of that bucket, realistically.
Yeah, but it's just recalibrating what you think of, you know, based off of draft position. Is Amari Cooper is off the radar until, not even when Derek Carr gets back. Like, I'm not going to start him until I see him do something, even if Carr is playing.
Yeah, and it's not even just about him doing something. It's about him starting to get targets. Because for some reason, in 5 weeks, he hasn't even been getting targets that much, let alone receptions. I know that there's been a lot of talk around him leading the league in drops. And I assume that, not assume, but there's a decent chance that he's sort of being punished for having problems with dropping the ball or something like that. People don't think he's reliable, so they're not wasting their chances on him.
Maybe.
At any rate, I don't know, for fantasy, that just means, all of this just means stay away.
Yeah, just stay away.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's crazy because he, like, last year, he was solid. I mean, he had 83 catches and almost 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, only five TDs, but still, I mean.
Yeah. So.
Just so disappointing.
Like we said like Dave and Clay said last week, this week is, the next couple of weeks are the time for you really to take a look at the roster that you have, take a look at the record you have, and figure out, what do I need to do in order to stay at the top of the heap or get to the top of the heap, right? Maybe if you're like me, you know, I've had a pretty rough start this year. I have, none of my teams have winning records right now. And there's a number of different reasons for that, but I am thinking about, how can I make big moves to change my team. I have one team where I'm 1-3, where I'm second in points scored and second in points allowed. And, you know, I'm just looking at it going, do I really stay the course or do I need to make some changes? And I think that what we can go back to here is just a reminder that, you know, we have put out content the last couple of podcasts or at different times about how to benchmark your team's performance. And there's two fundamental ways to do that we would urge everybody to go back and think about right now. Take a look at your points for and points against stats in the different leagues that you have and see if your team is tracking on average to be towards that upper end of what we call the 70-91-10 rule for 12-team standard. Higher numbers for 12-team PPR, which is more like the, it's more like the 90-107-130 rule for PPR, right?
Yeah, that's
so
about it.
So if your team is tracking,
and let's go back to those three numbers, though, just as a refresh.
Right.
That first number, what we say?
That's 20% chance to win.
Yeah, so 90 if you're at and a 12-team PPR.
Yeah, keep in mind, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Again, if your team is on average scoring 90 points in 12-team PPR, you are only a 20, your expected number of wins for the whole season is 2.6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you need
a lot more than that.
110, 100, the real number is about 107 to be 50-50.
Right. And you want to be better than 50-50. So what you really want is about 115 to 120.
Right.
On a weekly basis.
And the high end number, the 130, which is, again, this is 12 team PPR. This is really about 128 is the actual number.
Right.
Is that's 80% chance to win.
Right.
And that is the, that's kind of like the magic number that you need to get to win your season, because that 80, that is an 80% chance of winning
each week,
each week.
Yeah.
And that equates to about 10 wins in a 13 week season, which is, happens to coincide with the number that typically wins your league in fantasy. If you get 10 wins in your league, almost any scoring format, you will almost certainly win your, on average, you will win your
regular
league.
Season. Right. So the point is, now is the time. You have a sample size. Take a look at to see how much you're scoring, to see if you're tracking along with the, that average on a week over week basis. And also take a look and see what people are scoring against you on a week over week basis. Because if people are scoring on average 90 points against you in 12 team PPR, you should be crushing it.
Yes.
Number one. And number two, you are getting very, very lucky. And it's time to really look at your team's performance and see, you know, that just gives you another data point and going like, am I getting lucky or am I getting unlucky right now? You know, my league where I'm 1-3 and I'm second in points scored and second in points scored against, I'm just sitting here thinking,
yeah, what do you have?
What are the actual numbers?
Yeah.
So after 4 weeks, because they haven't been counted yet, I think that they are both,
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah. So it's 463 points for and 490 points against. So 463 divided by 4 is,
this is, which league is this? This is the 12 team PPR.
This is the 12 team PPR that you or I are in with our
okay.
friends and, you know, my sister.
So you
and
said
my
you were 440 something?
463. So I'm scoring 116 a week basically.
So you are basically just a hair over 110. You're a hair over the 50% win mark.
Yeah, I'm at 117, which I think is probably right around one. It was right around 60 to, you know, like 55 to 60% chance.
Yeah.
To
so
win.
Through 4 weeks, you should probably be 2-2.
Yep.
And you're
at 1-3.
1-3.
Yeah.
You gonna win this week?
Looks like it.
Okay.
But it's close.
So you're a little bit unlucky.
Yeah.
It would seem.
Yeah. And my points against the people that I'm playing are scoring an average of one. It's 490 divided by 4, so it's 123-ish.
I can't do that in my head.
Yeah. Well, that's not super accurate, but it's
that's what computers are for.
Yeah, you know. It would be 125 if it was 500.
Okay.
So
you're getting... Okay, so you are just... You're playing against slightly better teams.
Right.
And you're getting beat slightly more than you should be.
Yeah. There is a person in this particular league who has 566 points scored against them so far.
That is unlucky.
That is
absolutely
very, very
unlucky.
And hey, if you're that person in your league, maybe you kind of like let it ride for a little bit and just go, A, this isn't my year, or B, my team is going to bounce back in a real way from here out.
Because it doesn't seem like it's a team that needs to be disassembled.
Right, it's not
sustainable. It seems like it's just bad luck. Like, you don't have to try to make desperation trades and and package up all your good guys to get somebody that is a known commodity or might be performing better, because your team is fine, actually.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Nate, right now.
Yeah.
You're just unlucky.
But, like, you know... You're probably listening to this on your phone. We know this by the podcast download stats. Almost everyone downloads off of iOS.
Yep.
So as long as you're not driving, open up your whatever ESPN or Yahoo or whatever you use, and just look at what your totals are. And if you're in a 12-team PPR, divide that by 110 and just see where you sit.
Right.
If you're above it, you're probably good. And if you're not, well... You know, you might have some issues.
Yeah, and here's the way to tweak it too. If you want to just do it rule, you know, so you can go to fantasyoutliers.com and see this data. I don't have the actual chart in front of me for what it's called, but if you go to fantasyoutliers.com, which is where we have some of our kind of like original content, you can see the different formats and kind of tweak through and see what those numbers are, the expected win percentage for a 10-team standard, a 10-team PPR, yeah. a 12-team standard, a 12-team PPR.
We have like 10 different formats. Have, or
yeah,
all
there's,
the normal
so there's
stuff.
A bunch of different formats there you can look at. But the key is PPR adds about 15 points to each level. Okay. That's why the difference between the 12-team regular and the 12-team PPR is right around 10 to 15 points, and it gets more as you go up. Less teams means higher scores. So a 10-team league has higher scores overall. That's probably in the kind of 10% extra kind of rates as well. 8-team, we have some stats up there for 8 teams. There's not too many of you folks out there, but also keep in mind, you have even more scoring per week because the players on the rosters are just better.
We have half PPR too.
We have half PPR
up
as well.
12.
Yeah. So that's helpful as well. But yeah, this is the time to take a look at that. And also, I would encourage people at this point to go back and give another listen to the benchmarking podcast that Dave and I put out a couple of weeks ago and look at those slots for wide receiver one, wide receiver two, running back one, running back two, flex, to kind of see how, if you want to get down to, hey, I know that my team is underperforming as a unit.
Where's it coming from?
That's where that comes from. If you go back and listen to benchmarking or read the benchmarking article that's on our Medium blog, you can be able to diagnose a little bit there as well. Now, the question is, what do you do about it?
What do you do about it?
Yeah. And we're hopeful that a couple of different things are going to happen here from our side anyway. We're going to keep putting out content about waivers. We're getting very close on our weekly start sit projections. So hopefully
our
listeners will have a little bit of an edge against other players in their leagues from just maybe having better projections on a week over week basis to be able to figure out who's really worth taking a shot on. That's an unknown at this point, you know, in a given week to help with those bye week fill ins. And the last thing that you can do is try to make some trades, which is another topic for another time.
Absolutely. But we are very close to predictions. I'm going to put some of the data science guys on the spot here a little bit. They've said that they're coming out soon. They've been working on them pretty hard. And I think they're getting close to being able to have something that we feel is good enough to put out into the world. Yeah. So it might not be next week.
It might not be week 6, but it might be week 7.
It's getting close. Yeah. Yeah. Just know it's coming.
Yeah. So that's it for today. Hope that the waiver wire ads were good. I think we had some pretty deep cuts there, but buys are making things tough. And that's just kind of
what
fantasy football is all about, right? It's about finding people to fill in for your bye weeks, taking shots, and using a little bit of kind of data to educate your decisions as you go through it. So now that we're winding down the podcast, I just had a chance to look at the Cleveland Indians-Yankees game and saw that the Indians lost 1-0. So I missed an epic baseball game. I missed my team lose to help bring you all this podcast. So I hope you freaking appreciate it. Dave.
The Indians aren't going to win.
Come on.
What?
Get out of here. You haven't been paying any attention to baseball this year.
No, I haven't. I really haven't.
They went like 42-8 in the last 50 games of the season.
I'm just going to say that because I just want to rub it in.
Oh, God. Cincinnati people. Okay. Dave, what is the last thing we say on
Cubs
the podcast?
People. We say... Wait.
Did you just say that you're a Cubs person and not a Reds person?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not that worried about the Reds. They're fine, but...
They're in the same division as the Cubs.
Yeah, I know, but
you
whatever.
Can't like the team from...
I've lived here for well over a decade.
Man, your family is going to be really mad at when this one gets out.
You know, it is what it is.
Okay. Okay. Boy, bandwagon.
I mean, yeah, but also I was a fan when they were terrible, so.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I am a bandwagon fan for the Blackhawks.
Cincinnati doesn't have a hockey team, so it's not as much of a betrayal.
That's true. But I didn't really follow the Blackhawks.
Okay, anyway, this is too much. I can't handle this.
Just send us an email at podcastfantasyoutliers.com.
Yeah.
If you want to argue about something.
Sure.
Yeah. And also, there are a number of listeners in South Africa, and I want to know who you are. So if you are listening in South Africa, shoot us an email. Let us know where you are
Please
and what you're doing down there.
Yeah. So if you're from South Africa or you're from anywhere and you'd like to email us, again, the email address is podcast@fantasyoutliers.com. We would love to hear complaints, ideas. You want to get at us with some kind of argument, you know, email's fine for that. You could also come and find me on Twitter @Dave_Harbarger on Twitter or @FantasyOutliers. That is a platform where people like to argue. So maybe that's the best place to be able to send some characters to each other. And I think that's it. If we would love ratings on iTunes,
review us on
any
iTunes.
Any kind of reviews, any kind of feedback there, it would be super helpful so that we can find more people. You can find us on Facebook. And again, our Medium blog, if you want to check out any of our kind of overall data analysis articles, is medium.com/fantasy-outliers.
And thanks to the Kentucky Struts for the use of their song When off their album Year of the Horse. The good friends of mine, actually, my cousin Adam is in the band, and they were very nice to us to let us use their song off their second album. You should check them out on Facebook. They got a lot of great tracks.
Yep. And you said you're going to put another track at the end of this.
One, right? I haven't figured out what I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to pick one and play the whole thing at the end of this podcast. Yep. So basically, when that theme music ends, start another one.
Great. All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
My boy, he's a sure shot.